don't look back, let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the
Hello everyone, welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have an absolute legend on our show. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, John Seleter.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. Thank you so much for having me and looking forward to this.
Yes, I'm so excited to talk to you and learn from you because you are an absolute legend in the profession of network marketing. You achieved the top rank in 4 companies, which is just so admirable. So I can't wait to dig in. I am going to tell my audience a little bit about your background. So John Seleter is a name synonymous with excellence in network marketing. He has been in the industry now for over 42 years, and he's become a beacon of leadership, mentorship, innovation, and he's influenced countless lives, millions of lives, and he has set unparalleled standards of success. Over the decades, John has built teams that have exceeded 1 million people. He has traveled to over 62 countries, and he has been top money earner actually in 5 different companies. His impact extends way beyond his personal achievements. He's consulted for major corporations, designed marketing plans for a $500 million company. He's authored 4 books, including an Amazon bestseller, Leave Nothing to Chance. John's podcast, which I'm so excited to be on soon, it's called Leaving Nothing to Chance, features interviews with industry icons and offers invaluable insights to help others grow their business. With a reputation for authenticity, dedication, and generosity, John embodies the spirit of network marketing, both as a profession and a community. As a trailblazer, mentor, and author, John Seleter's legacy continues to inspire and empower entrepreneurs worldwide. So tell me, John, how did you get into your first network marketing business?
You know, it's a funny story, Rebecca. I was graduating from university.
Where did you go?
Seton Hall University, South Orange, New Jersey, Seton Hall Pirates. And April 18th, 1983, I remember the day, as if it was yesterday, coming up on 42 years here in a couple of short months. And my good buddy, Tom Husted, who I had wrestled with in high school, he was at a different high school, but he had gone off to Lehigh University. He had graduated a couple years older than me. He came into the gym where I was working out and working at part-time, and he starts to tell me about this business that he started and says, hey, you know, for $32, you can get started. And I said, well, you know, Tommy, I don't have $32, but if I can write you a check and you can hold the check, I can get started on Friday because I got paid on Friday. So I did. Fast forward the first 30 days, I made about $800 part-time with that particular company, retailing, mostly retailing product, a little bit of wholesale. I think I sponsored 3 people, but I was selling product pretty easy. And May 18th of 1983, my college commencement, Ronald Reagan was our commencement speaker.
Whoa.
And now my parents were very left wing. Okay. They did not like Ronald Reagan at all for a lot of different reasons. So I grew up with this animosity towards Reagan.
Was he already the president when he delivered your graduation speech?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's epic.
And he gave a message that day. Now, I started, I never forget this, Rebecca. I said to my dad, I'm not going to go because I don't like him. My father, who didn't like him either, said, you're going to go because you worked hard for this degree. And even though we don't like him, we respect the office. And so that's something we as Americans need to get back to. Whoever's in, we need to respect them and support them as best we can. Yeah. You'll get to disagree with them. But I had this image of Reagan. And I sat there with my arms folded like I had all the answers. Reagan started to speak about 2 things that have stayed with me all of these years. Number one, the fact that capitalism frees people. That the people in the then East German marketplace wanted what the West Germans had. And the wall would ultimately fall, and they would ultimately get that. okay, and get what we have in the West that we take so for granted. I didn't understand that then. I understand it now. But his other message was about mentorship and the fact that in 1932, height of the Depression, he graduates college, goes back to Illinois, works at the swim club he had worked at the previous summer, runs into an entrepreneur who was very successful and has a conversation with them. And this older guy counseled him and said, Dutch, they used to call him Dutch in those days, Dutch, what you need to do is find somebody that can mentor and teach you something that you're interested and passionate about. He then got into broadcasting Chicago Cubs minor league baseball, ultimately got into broadcasting, went to California, and the rest, as they say, is history. When Reagan said that, I was now on the tip of my chair this way going, wow, I want to hear everything this guy has to say, because for the last 30 days, I've been getting mentored in a business and taught what to do, and I actually have $800 in my pocket I didn't have a month before. By the way, $800 in 1983 is about $3,000 today.
Yeah.
So as a college kid with no money, $800 was real money, I got to tell you. I was very excited about that. June of 1983, I don't remember the date, it may not have been the 18th, but it's funny, April 18th, May 18th, and then it was June, whatever. I go to Hartford, Connecticut, and I go to this event with about 1,000 people. And the guy doing the meeting comes out and he talks about, for things to change, you have to change. And for things to get better, you have to get better. And I'm like, wow, this is incredible, because nobody ever talked to me that way and told me that I had any role in my success or failure. I thought it was the president or the government or whatever. I didn't know that that this was an inside job, right? Yeah. And that by changing my attitude, that I could change where I would ultimately go in my life. So I heard that message that day, okay, from my still good friend, Larry Thompson. And all of a sudden I got it. I was like, hey, I'm a network marketer for life, because the self-development that I was getting even 42 years ago was growing me as a person. The fact that I happened to grow businesses and be financially successful was an outcome. But my desire was a better John. And as a result of all of that, that's kind of what happened. And here I am 42 years later preaching this stuff around the world, 60 some odd countries I've been in and spoken on 4 continents, probably a 5th one at some point. And had this phenomenal career and all these wonderful experiences and friendships and relationships around the world as a result of those first 90 days getting introduced, hearing President Reagan, hearing for things to change, and orchestrating and adopting some of those principles into my life, and the results have been outstanding.
I love that, because if you want to have a result and you don't know how to do it, you don't have to like reinvent the wheel. You just find somebody who has what you want, and if you do what they did, you can get what they got. So who have been some of your most instrumental mentors in your 42 career of network marketing?
I've had a few. I learned a great deal, believe it or not, of what not to do, watching some people who became successful and forgot how they became successful. Okay.
Well, let's unpack that before you move on to your other mentors, because that's juicy for people. So
exactly.
Tell us, John, what not to do to build build any business, let alone network marketing. What are the don'ts?
First of all, don't become a celebrity distributor.
Okay.
What I mean by that is, okay, don't get into the, hey, I'm going to go and do, 18 meetings this month for people that I don't get paid on, because they're going to pat me on the back and tell me how wonderful I am. Your job is to build your organization. That means you need to continually sponsor people frontline. Mm-hmm. You need to continue to mentor the people that you get paid on in your business. And if you do a good job with them, they will mentor the people that you don't get paid on to give you the kind of stability that you need in your network so that you have long-term residual income.
Mm-hmm.
What happens sometimes is, and I've seen this happen, people become celebrities. It started happening with me at one point. Everybody wants you to come, on your own nickel, by the way, come support their meeting, talk at their meeting, da-da-da-da-da. Great and wonderful, makes you feel really good. But at the end of the day, if you're not doing income-producing activities within your business is not going to thrive and grow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things not to do. Now, some of the people who I saw that did the business so well, okay, Jeff Roberti was one of them. for example. Jeff is always led by example. My friend Dan McCormick in his business is always. Brian Carruthers in his business is always. My late friend Arlene Loewy passed away a couple years ago. Arlene was great at continually sponsoring. And they all had a couple of things in common. Number one, ABM. Always be marketing. If you were driving in the car with any of those people, they always had marketing tools for the toll collector or the waitress or whoever they were engaging with. They were always presenting their business. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the circumstance was they were always ready to do business. That's number one. Number two, leaders get up early.
Mm.
And number three, all of those people and so many others that, you know, don't necessarily come to mind, but I can think of, lead by example. They're on the board in their company continuously. And you say, well, why, that person's super successful. Why are they still sponsoring? Because if you believe in your brand and you believe in your company and you believe in your business, okay, you're going to continue to expand your business just like a franchisee with Subway or McDonald's continues to expand, right? We're the same way in network marketing. If you believe in your business, you continuously need to sponsor people. I've been in my current company 29 years, okay? I'm not at the top of the leaderboard every month, but I'm on the leaderboard every month. People see in my organization, John's still bringing people to the company. He still believes in the company. He also believes in his business. And that's really, really paramount to build a long-term successful organization is that people do what you do, not what you say.
Well, I am going to hold that right there because I still want to hear about the other few mentors that have changed your life in and outside of network marketing. We are going to cut to a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show hosted by Rebecca Whitman. And today we have John Solider on the show. He is an icon with 42 years and 5 number one ranks in 5 different companies. And he is going to tell us what he learned from the best mentors out there. So come back and we'll see you in 2.
How clean is the water you're drinking and bathing in? If you call Aquasana Water today, they'll provide you with a free assessment telling you the condition of your tap water. Aquasana sells whole house water filters starting at $1,000. Isn't that worth it to have a 10-year supply of filtered, cleaner water? Aquasana water filters tackle chlorine taste and odor and can reduce contaminants like viruses, lead, forever chemicals, and microplastics, depending on the system you purchased. So make the free call, find out the condition of your water, and make your water cleaner the Aquasana way. It's a smart decision for you and your family and a must for a healthy home. Get a whole house Aquasana water system starting at $1,000 for your entire home. Call and find out the condition of your water with a free water assessment. 800-925-6029. 800-925-6029. 800-925-6029. That's 800-925-6029.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you are making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt, that's what you do. It's not your fault. It's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-628-5675. 800-628-5675. 800-628-5675. That's 800-628-5675.
Hey there, gorgeous. Quick question. Do you want to look younger, feel stronger, and glow like the star that you are? Of course you do, honey. So here's the deal. Your body wants to age gracefully, but stress, sugar, and time are not on your side. Enter the game changer you didn't know you needed, liquid collagen. This isn't your average powdery chalky mess. Oh no, honey, this is next level science. Our liquid collagen has a 93% bioavailability rate
Powdered collagen is 30% at best. This means your hair, skin, nails, joints get the VIP treatment. If you want to reduce wrinkles, feel amazing in your body, and turn heads, this is your glow up in a bottle. Don't wait. Your future self is literally begging for this. Click the link in the show notes to grab your bottle today. But hurry, supplies are limited and this kind of fabulous will not last forever. You deserve this. Now go shine like the balanced, beautiful, and abundant star that you are.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have John Solitor in the studio, and John is an icon inside of the network marketing profession. He's consulted to all kinds of corporations and sales organizations, and he is about to tell us something very valuable. He is going to tell us what his top mentors have taught him. So keep going with this discussion, John. I'm loving it.
Well, my next mentor, I would say, was Jim Rohn.
Okay.
Now, I met Jim for the very first time. It's a funny story. I was working corporate for a company here in Dallas. That's how I got to Dallas. I came down here to help my friend Charlie Regis with his company way back in 1993. And one of the guys we worked with had been a ghostwriter for Jim Rohn. And he comes to my office one morning and he says, hey, do you want to have lunch with Jim? And we have a big company, Jim, you know, we've got more than one Jim, right? I'm just, yeah, sure, Jim who? And he says, well, oh, Rohn. Jim Rohn. Let me check my calendar and see if I can get free. I'm like, are you serious? Now, I'm like about 35 years old at the time, right? So I'm like starstruck to meet Jim Rohn, right? I've heard him speak a million times, but I've never met the man. So we go to lunch at a steak place here in Dallas, and Jim used to always have his glasses propped up on his head, if you remember, right? And we're sitting there, we had a really nice lunch, and we're talking about, you know, football and, you know, guy stuff, right? And then finally lunch is over, and Jim looks at me, he looks at the two other guys who are then in their 50s, and he looks at them, and he basically says, listen, John, it's too late for these two guys. Actually, he always referred to you by your last name. He said, Mr. Solitor. Said, it's too late for these two guys. By the way, both these guys were very successful. Goes, it's not too late for you. And Rebecca, I knew exactly what he meant. You would have thought I was Usain Bolt because I ran to my car to get my day timer. Because in your day timer in those days is where you took your notes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something that has stayed with me, and I've taught my kids this, and I've tried to teach my network this, and some people listen, most don't. But he said, what if the waiter says something so profound when he comes back to service our coffee here, and you come in tomorrow and the waiter quit or got fired? And you said, that waiter said something so profound, life-changing, and I can't remember it. But if that waiter says something so profound and you write it in your day timer or your journal, okay, it's yours for life.
Mm.
And that impacted me, and I was always good taking notes. I was a good student. But I'm just thinking, hey, yeah, we're four guys having lunch. I'm not going to sit there and take notes because we're just four guys having lunch, and I'll remember what he has to say.
Exactly.
But I got his point. And since then, I have been voracious in taking notes and accumulating data in my office. I have notebooks galore, all kinds of notes, all sorts of people. Industry people, non-industry people, business people, non-business people, spiritual people, health people, whatever I'm interested in, if they're talking, I'm taking notes on what I think the key points are. So that was one, was Jim Rohn, certainly.
Well, let me ask you a question about the notes, because I am a voracious note taker too, and I have stacks and stacks of notebooks, but I take the notes and then I never go back to them. So do you have like a method for studying the notes or integrating the notes, or is it just the act of writing it down that I just write everything down because I remember it better, but I haven't figured out how to go back to these stacks of notebooks yet?
Believe it or not, what I do on Sunday afternoons is I take about an hour and I hang out in my office here. I do not take phone calls. I don't listen to anything, no podcast, no music, nothing. And I actually go through my notes just to see what somebody said, you know, and sometimes it gives me an idea for a podcast interview. Sometimes it gives me an idea for my business. Sometimes it's just some tidbit that I totally forgot. Like, I'll give you a fast example of that. I have notes from Tom Hopkins that go back to 1984, believe it or not. Tom Hopkins was relevant then. He's still, I think he's still out there today.
Working. Well, help me out because I don't know who Tom Hopkins is.
Tom Hopkins wrote How to Master the Art of Selling.
Oh, okay. So you guys get that if you haven't read it. How to Master the Art of Selling. Got it.
Very successful realtor at one time, and he was so good at sales that people started to hire him to come in for real estate and then insurance and then network marketing and so on and so forth, anything sales related. But Tom said something to me personally. I was speaking to him, and I'm 6'3", and Tom's a little guy. Tom's probably 5'8". So we're having this conversation kind of like Butt and Jeff, if you remember that comic strip. And I said, you know, sometimes, may not appear right now, but sometimes I can be shy. And he took out his business card and he wrote on the back of it, do what you fear most. And I said, okay, I found that business card in my wallet. I had it in my wallet for about 10 years. I finally transferred that to my notebook. Do what you fear most. So that became a mentorship point from the great Tom Hopkins. Okay. Met Zig Ziglar, believe it or not, Zig used to bring his wife to a hair shop next to the gym I used to work out at here in Dallas when I first moved to Dallas some 28, 29 years ago. And so one morning I see Zig Ziglar bring his wife. And Zig was a gentleman, by the way. When the camera wasn't rolling, Zig was just as big a gentleman when the camera wasn't rolling. He would walk around, used to call his wife the redhead. He would open the car door, guide her by her elbow into the hair salon, go back to the car, and then go for his coffee or whatever to, you know, kill the time until it was time to pick her up and go home. And one morning I said, Mr. Ziglar, I said, I'm a big fan. You don't know me. I'm in network marketing. And he said, you guys have any coffee? I said, yeah, sure we do. So he came in the gym. We sat on a couch for about an hour, just chit-chatting. And, you know, Zig had so many great expressions. But he said, you know, I really do believe what I say when I say to people, it's really not about you as the salesperson. It's about them as the recipient of your service that they really are gaining by what they buy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that for a minute. And I said, wow, that's some serious stuff. In other words, if you're going to conquer the fear, I go back to Tom Hopkins saying about conquering fear, right? If you're going to think, I have to make this sale because I have to pay my car payment or my mortgage payment. And you're putting all that pressure on you. Whereas if you switch it, what Zig was saying is switch it to the, put yourself in that customer's shoes, right? Where your health supplement in your case, or in my case nowadays, okay? Or your insurance product if you're selling insurance, or your automobile, whatever it is, you're doing them a service. Now, if you see that as a service, that you're in the service business, you're never going to fear anything because you're trying to help that individual or that couple who gain value from what it is that you're marketing to them. Yes, you're getting a commission. Absolutely. And you totally deserve. But if you see it differently, he helped me see it differently, then I'm trying to help people. Okay. They don't always necessarily think I am, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to help them with their health these days. Plain and simple. Now, that doesn't mean they have to buy or buy what I say, but it means that if that's my intention and that they're going to gain, why wouldn't I put my best foot forward to explain everything I possibly can to them so that they buy my product because I believe it's going to benefit them so strongly. And I started to see sales differently that way. And, just kind of how Zig explained that. And it was funny. And I mean, all of a sudden he looked at his watch and he's like, well, I got to pick up the redhead. Nice talking to you. Shook hands. Never met the man again. Never met him again. I met his son along the way. I met his daughter along the way, but never met Zig again after that. But that was once again, one of those experiences. Okay. And the last one, I've never met this gentleman face to face, but I interviewed a guy on my show named Ben Gay the Third. Real name, by the way, like the ointment. He takes a lot of ribbing about the ointment. But Ben was the last protege at 27 years old trained by Dr. Napoleon Hill before Dr. Hill passed away.
Mm.
And I said to Ben at the end of that interview, I said, Ben, what three things stand out in your mind that Hill would tell people? And of course, I never met Dr. Hill. He was dead long before. Well, I was a little kid when he died. And the thing that stands out about that is the word integrity. Never forfeit your integrity in anything that you do or you say. And I'm like, wow, that means a lot. Because if you never forfeit your integrity, you're never going to do something for profit or personal gain that's the wrong thing to do. And if you maintain that, not only in our business life is micro, our life is macro, right? If we maintain that in all of our relationships and how we deal with people, from our children to our next door neighbor to total strangers, right? If we always have integrity in what we do, we're never going to have to remember at 3 o'clock what we said at 10 o'clock in the morning, because it's going to be the truth at 3 o'clock, just like it was at 10 o'clock. And I thought that that was a great teaching moment for me to hear, you know, Dr. Hill's been gone a long time, but what he would say to people about always maintaining their integrity no matter what the situation is.
Well, it makes me so happy that you say that, because so many people think that the sales profession and network marketing in particular lacks integrity. So how do you handle, if integrity is one of your most important values and people are questioning your integrity, how do you handle that?
Well, you know what? I just tell them the truth is the best that I know it, and say, look, you form your own opinion, do your own research, be it about my network marketing product, my network marketing business form. You know, you make your final decision, but I'm only going to tell you the truth. I don't exaggerate income. I don't exaggerate what my product can or cannot do. And I've been that way pretty much since the beginning, okay? I mean, you know, sometimes in sales we embellish things because we're excited, and that's great. We're passionate about what we do, or we wouldn't be good at what we do. But there's a difference between passionate versus being misleading. You can be very, very passionate. A person says, boy, that person really believes in what they're doing and saying, okay, without having to mislead somebody, where all of a sudden they're going to be disappointed because you said this product's going to do this wonderful thing and it doesn't do that, or this service is going to do this wonderful thing and I found out it doesn't do that, or you sell them a car and you say it's going to do this and that, and then you get out there on a highway and it doesn't do this or that. You know, just to keep your integrity and remember the old thing that our moms taught us, right? The golden rule. Our moms were all of our first mentor, right?
What did our moms teach us?
The golden rule.
The golden rule, yes. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Exactly. You know. I have one other fast mentor one. We have time for this one?
Yeah, we have 2 minutes before you head to break.
I can go fast. Larry Thompson taught me a lot, okay? Mm-hmm. And one of Larry's great statements is day at a time, brick at a time, process by process. Now, Larry and I both grew up in families that were in the construction business.
Mm-hmm.
So we related to that. I related to that when he said that, because, you know, you watch a building be built, it's built from the bottom up.
Right? Yeah.
So it was kind of like when I look at network marketing, or I look at any business for that matter, it's like, hey, day at a time, brick at a time, process by process is how you grow a network marketing business or a family or a church or whatever it happens to be. And I thought that was very logical and just good common sense once again. From, you know, one of my mentors, my many mentors, he was my first network marketing mentor. But I've always maintained that logic. And in a crisis moment in my life, my oldest daughter, unfortunately, had gotten involved with drugs, went through rehab. And the day that I picked her up with her mother to bring her home, we're leaving the facility and she says, Dad, get what you going to say? Day at a time, brick at a time, process by process. And that's how she beat drug addiction, frankly.
That. And she's still alive and well today?
Live. She's your neighbor there. She lives not too far from you there in L.A.
And where does she live? What part of L.A.?
Northridge.
Oh, yeah. That's not too far at all. I'm in Mar Vista.
Yeah, she's doing great. She's doing great. She's been clean now for 5 years. Thank the good Lord. But once again, she learned that self-development because I learned that self-development. And she knew it wasn't going to be easy. It was going to be a process.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's clean 5 years. And, you know, we don't even think or talk about it. But once again, that self-development sometimes is bigger than it is teaching your network marketing downline. Sometimes it's more important in your own house.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, you have been listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. And whether you're listening on the radio, on a TV show, on a podcast platform, we're so happy you're here. I'm Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We're interviewing John Solitor, icon in the profession of network marketing. We are going to be right back in a couple minutes, and he is going to be giving us some more wisdom. So don't go anywhere, whether you're in network marketing or any profession. He is going to be giving you tips and tools to get to the next level. We'll see you in a minute.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-451-8603. 800-451-8603. 800-451-8603. That's 800-451-8603.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-590-1163. 800-590-1163. 800-590-1163. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish. 800-590-1163.
Okay, can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive, you're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all 7 pillars of abundance, because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account? Or a thriving career but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in? Welcome back, everyone. I'm Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. And today we have a wonderful guest on the show, John Solitor. So tell us, John Solitor, what is your sales process? Give us some great sales tips.
Okay, well, first one is, okay, real simple. This is old school. Bobby Depew, mentor to Jim Rohn, Larry Thompson, Mark Hughes, and others. Okay. Bobby Depew taught the 10 penny principle, which is real simple. And this, by the way, whether you're in network marketing or traditional selling, the process is the same. You got to fill the pipeline with prospects, right?
Yes.
How do you do that? The 10 penny principle is real simple. You put 10 pennies in your left pocket. Every time you talk to somebody, you take one out of the left, stick it in your right. Now, that might seem redundant, that might seem old school, but let me tell you what it does. It creates a habit of talking to 10 people. Now, when I started in 83, 10 people were 10 people across the dining room table or whatever. Today, because of all these terrific technologies that exist, from Zoom to TikTok to, you know, podcast to, you know, all these other things that exist today, you can talk to 10 people and realistically probably not even leave your living room if you don't want to. Okay, and I would suggest you do for a lot of reasons, but at the end of the day, you can talk to somebody in Europe or Asia or South America or down the street using technology and still get to that 10 metric by the end of the day. Now, if you fill your pipeline, let's just say, let's go outside network marketing, because I train insurance people too. You go out there and you say, hey, I have 10 people today that I called about life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 9 went to voicemail. 1 answered the phone. What am I going to do with the other 9? Am I just going to forget about them? Or am I going to send them a text and say, hey, Rebecca, I tried to get a hold of you today. Unfortunately, you weren't available. I know, you know, crazy times, people are busy, da-da-da-da-da. Let me tell you why I was calling. You had expressed an interest in IUL. You had expressed an interest in whatever, for, okay, whatever the product was. Now, at least I communicated with you. Now, you can have the option of reaching back. Now, a little clue that I share with people in that industry and in network marketing. Hey, Rebecca, if you're not interested at all, you just filled out this survey, for example, because you filled it out, and you're really not interested, hey, I'll take you off the list. Please text me back. Because guess what? Now, Rebecca is actually going to read the text because she sees that there's a way to get out of the text. Follow?
Right.
I force the action of the possible buyer by doing little things like that, okay? But the 10 penny principle leads me to that, because everything in sales and marketing is about activity, okay? So the 10 penny principle is one thing that I do.
So, do you still do it to this day? Do you still have 10 pennies in one pocket?
Still do it, religiously.
I love that. I'm going to try that. That is actually so helpful to me.
And you can read about it in Moving Up.
All right.
But, and I've trained tens of thousands of people to do that. Okay. Now, why is it important? Okay. Because it's a foundation principle to all business, right? Nothing moves without somebody selling something, right? The trains don't move, the trucks don't move, the locomotives don't move. Nothing moves until somebody sells something. So you're there on the West Coast and I'm here in Dallas and I buy a product from a manufacturer in Los Angeles. He or she has to get it to me by one of those, you know, different methods, right? Truck, train, whatever. But somebody had to sell something, right?
Yeah. But
somebody had to pick up the phone or whatever the process is to get that person to say, yep, I want what X thing, right? Even on Amazon, I want X. Well, that product comes from somewhere. Somebody made it. Somebody has to ship it, okay, at the end of the day. But somebody had to sell it. The first thing had to happen is me as a consumer, I had to decide that I wanted to buy it. Nothing happens without sales. See, sometimes in sales, we look at our profession, be it network marketing or traditional sales. We look at it, and we ourselves sometimes put ourselves down. Well, I'm just a salesman. Really? Nothing moves without sales. We're the
healer. I think every conversation is a sales conversation, because you're sharing your opinion, your stories, your point of view, and your personal experience. So I feel like in every conversation, people are either selling or being sold.
Another thing I always think about is something that Dr. Jim Collins wrote about in Good to Great and Built to Last, two great business books. And I forget which one he talked about this in, and it may have been both, but Dr. Collins talks about the fact that in all businesses, you want to get the right butts in the right seats on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It means you want the best account, you want the best lawyer, you want the best logistics people, you want the best everything, and the super successful businesses, the businesses that are on steroids, right? Your Walmart, for example, your Amazons. When you examine their corporate leadership, they have really, really, really top people.
Yeah.
Network marketing, sometimes we don't. Quite honestly, sometimes you get somebody in a job and I don't know why this person's here, you know, on a corporate level. Okay. The best companies in network marketing, what their corporate leadership, CEO's job is to do is to get the best person in all of those roles to assist the organization. because once again, nothing happens. And here's a really fast sales lesson. Very short period of my time back in the early 80s, I left network marketing. The only time I ever left network marketing and didn't have a check was from about 85 to 87. And I went and I sold life insurance for the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company in New York. And there was a guy named Bob Crimmins who was VP of sales for that company. And I went to this big event in New York City. And I'll never forget this. He got up and he said, you know, as a senior level vice president, you know, I'm on the phone all the time and I'm multitasking. I'm reading this. I'm on the phone. He says, but when Mady Fakazadi, that's a real name, okay, Mady Fakazadi was their top sales rep in Metropolitan Life back then. He says, when Mady calls, I put down everything and I listen. Because when Mady has a problem and he isn't selling, I understand I don't have a job. Now, that man understood sales management 101.
Yes.
That sales guy, that, you know, Mady in that case, you know, others in network marketing or whatever endeavor somebody's engaged in is listening to your show. Do you understand that your top people, when they call you, they're a priority? And if they have a problem, your job is to solve their problem. Be it that you're corporate, be it that you're upline, be it that you're somehow involved in the process with that person. Now, I don't mean a complaint session, just let me call up my upline and complain about, you know, I don't like the color of the new box. It should be red and it's blue. I don't mean nonsensical stuff. I mean stuff where they say, hey, I'm having a problem with.
Yeah.
You do like Bob Crimmins did. You put down everything and you listen to that person and you say, how can I be of service? Who do I need to communicate with maybe as a higher up? Because maybe I've been in a company 29 years. You've been in 29 weeks. You don't know who to call, but I know who to call. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's how, you know, people say, how have you built all these big organizations? Well, I built these big organizations because I'm not afraid to pick up the phone and call the owner or the CEO or the board of directors and say, we got an issue. Well, we got to solve this issue because if we don't solve this issue, this guy over here who's an independent contractor who has other options can leave our business and go do this somewhere else. And in network marketing, we got to remember, and we got to remember this as uplines as well. These are independent contractors. Their skills are transportable. Therefore, we have to do everything we possibly can to make them happy within reason as long as they're being reasonable. Some people just, you know, they're ridiculous stuff. But as long as they're saying, hey, I have a legitimate concern, problem, gripe, you know, whatever it happens to be, if it's IT, you deal with the IT manager. If it's logistics, you deal with the logistics manager. Don't be afraid to engage the people in the seats on the bus in your company, because their support is really, really important to your success long-term and the longevity of your network marketing business. And the great companies, the companies that have really done it well, you're going to find they have really good people sitting in those seats that are there to attend the field. And they understood what Bob Crimmins did, that that sales rep out there recruiting and selling their product is the most important person, not the accounting department.
That is a really valuable story. And I think there's always, in every kind of corporate sales, there's always kind of been, in my experience, a tension between the salespeople and the corporate. And I think in the companies that are really crushing it, you know, the sales and the corporate have respect and support of each other.
Absolutely.
So how do you create a company culture where people want to stick around? Because I know that in network marketing and in other professions, there could be a really high attrition rate. And that's one of the biggest challenges to building a big team. What are some of your tips for stickability and longevity and having a really great team?
Well, first of all, we got to remember most people in network marketing are here for extra money.
Mm-hmm.
These are plan Bs for about 90% of most sales forces in network marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it stops being somewhat fun. And fun doesn't mean ha, 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 I'm having a great time. Okay,
yeah.
Sure, that's part of it. But once that they stop growing themselves, where they feel like they're in an environment where they're learning something and they're growing, both as a person and as a distributor, that's when they quit, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I watched this for so many years and I go, why did so-and-so quit? You know, they were doing, and sometimes they're making money, by the way, and they still quit, which really doesn't make any sense, right? from a financial standpoint. But if you say, well, wait a minute, if they don't feel like they were growing, they either went to another company or they quit the industry because they don't feel like they're growing themselves. And that's part of the fun is somebody says, hey, you know what? I started this. I was afraid to talk to 10 people a day, and now I can do that in my sleep. Okay. Where they feel like that self-development has stopped. You got to keep the self-development going. You got to keep the reading going. You got to keep the inspiration going. And I don't mean crazy inspiration, jumping up and down and singing the company fight song. I've never done that. That's not me. Okay. You're at a convention with me. I'm applauding. I'm happy, but I'm not the guy jumping on his chair. That's not me. That's not the way I'm wired. But I feel like, especially now, Rebecca, because we're living at an age with AI, podcasts, other technologies that are so exciting, that are applicable within our organization.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm constantly promoting them, whether I fully understand them or I have to have somebody else teach them because they're beyond what I understand as an almost 64-year-old guy, okay? If I have to have a younger person teach that, okay? Like my son is a masterful Google advertiser. Okay, he's made a lot of money with Google. He's 20 years old. Okay, I'll have him teach. I'm humble. It's like, hey, I don't know that. I'm not going to teach that. I'm going to have somebody actually can talk on it. Okay, to that point where the audience member feels like they're getting meat on the bone. They're going out of there with notes. They're going out of there with content. They're going out of there with something that they didn't know when they walked in the door that morning or got on your Zoom or your podcast or whatever. As long as they feel like they're growing, they're going to stick around. The second they feel like, hey, I've learned everything I can here, they're out seeking somebody else who can teach them something different or something more. Secondly, the fun aspect. This business is supposed to be fun. They already have a job that beats them up.
Yes, got to be fun.
Yeah, they got to feel like it's fun, simple, magical, and that they can do it, and that they see other people doing it. Okay? It's great to be a star. It's great to be a top distributor. Okay? But at the end of the day, realize most people in your audience are not going to be the top rank. But without those people, you don't have a check.
Yeah.
Right? So do everything you can so that the environment's fun. They feel like they're growing themselves. They feel like they're getting self-development out of this. They feel like they're a better person as a result of being part of the organization that you're in and the company that you're in. If they feel all of that, your retention is going to be really, really good. And if they don't feel that, they're going to be gone. And there's so many companies that are guilty of just doing it wrong. You know, just do it right.
And is your son, how many kids do you have?
I had four. My one daughter passed away, unfortunately. But I have three living, 20, 21, and 20, and 29, almost 30. The one in California is almost 30.
Okay. So are any, because I know network marketing businesses, especially big ones like yours, are a willable asset. So do any of them want to take over your business?
They can't wait to take over the business. My youngest daughter, she's got no interest, but she's young. My son is studying to be an electrical engineer, the one that does the Google stuff. Yeah, he's involved in the business, okay? Not day to day, you know, he's in school, but he's involved. And my oldest daughter is involved as well. She's actually doing some of my media stuff for me now as well. So, yeah, they're involved, and they love what we do. They grew up in it, and you know they've had a lot of self development lessons at the kitchen table. And you know, it wasn't odd in my house for you know my kids to grow up and hear me on the phone with you know Larry or Dan McCormick or Jeff Roberti or Jeff Weisberg or Arlene Lowy or Sandy Chambers or you know on and on and on, all of these legendary people that have done extremely well in business, you know. Ron Forrester, Leslie Hocker, Brian Carruthers. I mean, you know, all these different people that I've known through the years that I've worked with one way, shape, or form. So, you know, they had access to all of those people and they heard all of the you know, different conversations go on through the years. So it's kind of like, you know, they got an education without necessarily wanting it. They got it anyway.
I like to say some things aren't taught, they're caught. So they caught how to run an organization inside of network marketing. Well, John, this has been absolutely delightful. Thank you for your time and sharing your decades of expertise inside of this profession. How can people find your podcast and where can they find you on social media?
Social media, the thing that we're really focused on right now is our YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's real simple to find me on YouTube, John_ Solleder, S-O-L-L-E-D-E-R. And you'll find my Leaving Nothing to Chance shows on there that are now 5 years that we've been doing them. We've got about 170 shows up there now. More to come, including the one I'm going to do with you. Second to that, if you want to email me, just once again, my name, John Solleder, the number one, at gmail.com. John Solleder, one, at gmail.com. And you don't necessarily have to want to get in my company. I mean, sometimes people just email me because they got a question off of a show like this. And I'm an industry guy, okay, even though obviously I'm building my own business. But at the end of the day, I believe in our industry and all the good parts about network marketing. So if you have a question or something, or, you know, if you want to ask me a question, feel free to shoot me an email and happy to answer.
Thank you so much, John, for being on the show. And thank you, listeners. Keep sharing this show, whether you're listening on a podcast platform, the Everyday Woman TV Network, 1010 AM Radio, The King. Keep spreading this message because people have got to realize that they can go through life balanced, beautiful, and abundant. They don't have to exhaust themselves and make themselves sick to get what they want. They can keep their vibe high. So we'll see you guys very soon for another amazing episode. And until we see you again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. Set the pace, watch me steal the show.
Thank you. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising
fast. There are three types of people listening to this. The first type reached for their goals and failed. The second type achieved their goals and they were not fulfilled. They wanted more. And the third type achieved their goals at the expense of their health and happiness. Well, I have great news. I am inviting you to enjoy a mindset manifestation mastermind with me at the luxurious Palmaya at Aya Spa in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, white sandy beaches, and you at one of the most luxurious resorts in Mexico, unlocking the life you've been dreaming of. From January 23rd to 26th at the breathtaking five-star Palmaya at Aya Resort and Spa in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, I am hosting my Manifestation Mindset Retreat. It will be your chance to reset, realign, and manifest your most balanced, beautiful, and abundant life. Imagine mornings filled with transformational workshops, afternoons indulging in spa treatments and lounging by the pool, and evenings connecting with like-minded women under the stars. This isn't just a retreat. It's a total mindset makeover in paradise. You'll leave with the tools to manifest more love, success, and abundance than you ever thought possible. Spots are limited. This life-changing experience will sell out. Go to the link in show notes to reserve your spot today. Thank you so much, Melissa, for leaving us the review of the week. She gives us 5 stars and says, amazing results every time. I've listened to a lot of podcasts over the years, but Rebecca has a way of pulling more from her guests than I think they even realize about themselves. Her candid conversation always sparkles, and I've had to pull over and listen because I was so hung up on the topic. Absolute must-have topics for any woman, both personally and professionally. Well, thank you so much for your positive review, Melissa, and everybody else who's listening out there. Please leave us a 5-star review, and we will share your testimony on the show. And if your testimony gets shared, you will get a special gift from me. So make sure to leave that review and keep listening to the show.